Welcome to Beyond Startups, the podcast by the Entrepreneurship Center at the University of St. Andrews. My name is Ellie, and in this episode, we are joined by Jade Mparu. Jade is the founder of Braidar, an online beauty concierge service that books braiding appointments with nearby student stylists on behalf of Black girls studying at predominantly white institutions, or PWIs. Jade has recently graduated with a degree in English and Management from the University of St. Andrews, and she's also previous winner of the Startup Pitching Competition as part of a Fast Start Innovators program. Welcome, Jade.
Hi, my name is Jade Mparu, and I'm the founder and CEO of Braidar. And Braidar is basically a lifestyle concierge business aimed at Black girls studying in PWIs, so that means like predominantly white institutions. And basically it's all about creating a sense of community and really connecting them to a sense of belonging, like wherever they choose to study. So the main way that Braidar aims to do this is through connecting our target users with braiding facilities. So that's going to be through like student braiders, students with like braiding side hustles, wig making side hustles. And it really aims to address the like really important pain point of not having access to like brick and mortar Black hair stores or like Black hair salons in the university towns that people go to.
It's great to have you, Jade. Can you tell us a bit more about the kind of origin story and what inspired Braidar?
I'm very happy to be here as well, Ellie. Thanks for having me. And I guess basically the origin of Braidar was really like seeing that need amongst my friends and just hearing people talk about how hard it is to get braids done like while at uni and talk about having to pay for like return train tickets to London just to do hair and then come back to uni. And obviously if you like carve out a weekend to do that or carve out part of the reading week to do that, you're losing out on study time, you're losing out on time to kind of like just recharge and then get back into studying once classes resume. And so really it was something that was a big sort of burden on a lot of Black girls in St. Andrews. And it was also something that for a long time there was no obvious solution to, because you can't really like that easily sort of pay someone to set up a store in town or like, you know, bus someone in from another city and then have them do everyone's hair in one day, because one person's hair usually takes like 6-7 hours, so it wouldn't really work out. So it's really like there's almost like a stalemate of this large debate that we didn't really have an answer to. So I guess that really prompted me to start looking into, okay, like what can we do about it, because it definitely can't continue like this. People shouldn't have to sort of settle for like a university experience that is stressful because of this like obstacle. It should be something that's fun. It should be something where they like people feel like they can thrive in the university that they've chosen to go to and in the course that they love, in the town that they love, and also feel like they can be their full selves and authentic selves. So yeah, I basically signed up for the Fast Start Innovators program with the Entrepreneurship Center.
Shout out.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that was in third year, that was. So that was like the end of 2022. And basically, I got a lot of help and guidance and instruction on how to take an idea from just like a vague sort of concept to a fully realized sort of startup. And I started putting Braidar through the works of that. And yeah, since then, a lot has happened. But I'll kind of like touch on the highlights. Like, so I guess the first thing that happened was at the end of Innovators, there's a pitching competition where everyone can pitch like the idea to a panel of judges for an amount of funding. And so I pitched an idea which was linked to Braidar, because basically at the time, I was still sort of researching how one could like set up a way of like solving this problem. So I thought, okay, maybe focusing on building that sense of community first, and then once you get like the following and once you get people who have those braiding side hustles and have that need for braids on board and like fans of the brand, then you'll be able to connect them. So the idea that I ended up pitching was essentially the precursor to what Braidar is now. It was like a lifestyle brand for Black girls studying in Scotland. And I won £100 of funding for that idea and like to get it started and just get like storage space, like on the cloud, to kind of get things going because my phone is full. So that was the first obstacle. And then after that, over like the beginning of 2023, I started up the brand for that and just making content. And like, it wasn't me talking to the camera, but it was like pictures from around the town, answering people's questions that I would find on like forums or on TikTok, and then like using those montages to answer and using like the voiceovers to answer.
Cool. So
yeah, that was really nice and that was fun. But then it's kind of ironic because it got to a point where it was like, okay, I'm doing this, but I'm not connecting with that target audience that has this need. It's almost like I'm too removed from the target audience now. And it was like, okay, so how do I kind of get back to the actual like problem that I wanted to solve? How do I kind of bring it back from like a long-term goal to like in the short term? So I essentially backtracked to almost like square one or like square zero and thought, okay, how are other people running things where they need a service and there's a group that can provide it? So I got into like researching marketplaces, researching like online sort of directory websites and how people set those up, how they can like make that without knowing how to code, because I don't know how to code. And so yeah, from there, that was basically most of 2023. And then the summer of 2023, I was able to kind of like narrow down even more like what Braidar would sort of look like and feel like. And then that was when I came up with the like the brand, the initial branding and the name of Braidar.
I love the name.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think it's so cool.
Thank you. Oh, like I think I was in my grandma's house with my sister and I was like bouncing off names of her and she was like, yeah, Braidar, like it seems like
it sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, that was when it started feeling really tangible. And I got to sort of learn a lot that summer as well, because I did an internship with Accenture where one of the teams I was placed with, which was like towards the second half of the internship, they had experience in like a lot of the areas that I just found interesting, like social commerce, like talking about using UGC, talking about like just this whole really dynamic way of selling online and sort of I guess elevating the online shopping experience. So I would ask everyone in the office like do you know about social commerce like every single time. And I'm so grateful that they like were able to like answer my questions about, you know, supply and demand and like the chicken and egg problem that marketplaces have. They were able to answer my questions about like refining the value proposition of Braidar to be like student side hustle focused as opposed to just like any braider in the country. So that was really invaluable. And then after that, so when I came to uni for beginning of fourth year, that's autumn 2023, I kind of hit the ground running with like making a MVP, making a wireframe, testing with the friends I talked about who sparked this idea in the first place. And the feedback was so good. The feedback was like, I need this. Like, when is it, like, launching? Like, sign me up.
We need this right now.
Literally.
We need this yesterday.
Yeah. And that was so encouraging. And everyone was super, super helpful, super nice, and, like, just supportive. And I was able to kind of use their, like, you know, suggestions, use what they liked, what they didn't like, to make a, like, I made the wireframe, and then I made an actual sort of MVP, like, sort of working version. And from that, I was able to also make a, like, you know, the whole process of, like, iterating your idea and, like, sort of agile, like, refining it. So I was able to make a second, I guess, like, iteration of that idea. And, yeah, just basically I was able to be in contact with the actual, like, user base. So that was really nice. And I suppose the last milestone thing that happened was in April, I entered the Startup Challenge, which is run by the Entrepreneurship Center in St. Andrews and also Santander Bank. They like sort of collaborated to offer funding for student startups that have kind of like gone past the idea stage but are still like early stage. So I entered that and I got selected for the finals, did the pitch in the finals, and then I won some funding again. So.
Congratulations. I've said this to you already, but
thanks
again.
Thanks so much. Yeah. I was so happy. Like, I think even just the process of pitching, it makes you refine the value proposition more, and mm-hmm. it makes you, like, practice how you talk about it and explain it in a succinct way. So even that was, like, an invaluable experience. And, yeah, so we got £1,500 from that, like, incredible. And our next steps are to basically, like, get the transactions going on the site, get awareness up, and to really, like, leverage this period of, you know, people are getting their offers from St. Andrews, from other unis in Scotland, and they're curious. They're like, what's the town like? What are the shops? Like, you know, what's the nightlife? What's this like? What's that like? And then a key question that almost all, like, from the people I've asked, almost all the black girls that I know asked before they came, are there any braiders? Mm-hmm. Or are there any, like, African food shops? Or, like, those kind of questions. Because that's something that maybe on the surface it seems like just a little sort of trivial thing, but it actually plays a huge role in the decision to, like, go somewhere for 4 years, and, like, whether or not you feel like you can still connect to that sense of self and culture, or whether you have to, like, mentally prepare yourself to be like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do this. I just have to, like, grin and bear it. Mm-hmm. And then when I go home, kind of, like, do everything in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I may have said a lot.
No, I think that was a very great overview of your timeline.
Yeah.
And you touched on this a little bit already, but for any listeners that may not know as much about braids, can you kind of elaborate on the significance, both in terms of, you know, community, but also individual identity, especially in PWIs?
Yeah, definitely. So braids are, like, on one level, they're like a hairstyle that you refresh, like, I think most people every month or, like, 2 months, those kind of things. It's definitely, like, a long-term commitment, and as well as I've touched on, like, it's a time commitment as well. Like, I'd say minimum, like, 6 hours that for, like, a sort of simple braid style, like, larger braids. But at the same time, braids are, they almost, like, transcend just being a hairstyle that you wear for long periods. It's more like it's something that you do so often, and something that's so connected to your sense of self, but also your mom's sense of self, also your aunt's sense of self, your grandma's sense of self. It's that sense of a chain of, like, connection, that it's a really key facet of what it means to be a black woman, and what it means to, like, embody your, like, identity, your culture, and especially in places where you might be minoritized, like, obviously, like, in a PWI, there may not be that many other black women. But I think having access to, like, you know, getting your braids done puts you in a position where you can enter that space and feel like your most confident self, and mm-hmm. just feel like, you know, I don't have anything to feel like self-conscious about. I don't have anything to sort of worry about, like, even in engaging with the traditions in St. Andrews, for example, like the pier jump or May dip. People may not know, but if you don't have braids in, for a lot of black women, that's actually a barrier to engaging with those activities, because, like, other alternative hairstyles, they can get messed up by, like, just, like, doing a backflip into the sea or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, that whole idea of, I just want to be free, I just don't want to, like, worry about my hair in this context. I want to focus on, like, putting myself out there, making friends. But it's also about, I want to kind of still tap into what makes me me and what I love about my culture. And I want to do so in a way that's, like, you know, I don't have to jump through hoops to kind of mm-hmm. get that feeling.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially, you know, moving to university as a young adult, there's already plenty of challenges in that. It's a big change, and that probably doesn't need to be an additional stressor.
Yeah.
And you touched on this a little bit already, but I'm guessing that the sense of community is really important to your business, and you talked about social commerce early on. Can you maybe elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, so social commerce is a huge part of what I feel will sort of make Braidar stand out from like other booking platforms or like salon and sort of beauty booking platforms. It's trying to tap into that sense of what I feel like as part of Gen Z, we've kind of naturalized is the way that we engage with like creating an ideal self or even just like an aspirational self, even if that aspiration is just like 1 month into the future, like what are my braids going to be like for, you know, the next month or for graduation or vacation. So if you think of a site like Pinterest, you've got this whole dynamic where on the surface level, it's like type in what you want to see and then you see a result. But I think especially for Gen Z, it's got this almost nuance where it's intertwined with the whole like aesthetics and how people use aesthetics to kind of enact their embodied identity, whether it's like capturing a certain, like, you know, the look you want. Maybe you want red braids, but then when you type in, you know, McBling red braids, it captures like an aspect of the nuance of what you see in your head that maybe it, without having that aesthetic, you know, attached to the descriptor, you wouldn't be able to like get the search results that you actually that match what you're seeing in your head. So it's a very, I feel, a very personal and a very like creative visual relationship we have with like all these sites where you essentially curate an ideal sort of look, but you also engage with the pictures of like people who maybe are around your age, other ones posting the pictures, as opposed to like, you know, very fancy professional like models modeling the hair. It looks like other girls like you, other kids like you that are just posting their hair, and that it fits into that category of what you want. So mapping onto Braidar, for me, it was about capturing that essence of like, I want to see looks that, yes, fit my, like, fit the bill of what I'm looking for, fit my description, but also are done on people who are in my area and people who are in my sort of like same position, like students like me. So what we are really aiming to capture is that on Braidar, the search results that you get, like the pictures that you can see, are all going to be of people who've done styles on Braidar. So it's not going to be like, you know, from Pinterest or Google. So in that sense, it's really trying to make like a welcoming sort of platform for, you know, just normal people who want to engage with like the, I guess, creativity of UGC and like posting yourself on like a platform without necessarily having to like have, you know, 10K followers to get that sort of reach. But also it's tapping into a sense of social proof for the searcher themselves, where it's like, okay, I can see these people like based on my, you know, search criteria, I'm in St. Andrews. So I can see all these results are fellow students in St. Andrews who've used Braidar. And it's like showing me that the stylist, the student stylist in that area can do this exact thing that I'm clicking on. Because I think that's another thing that people face as a pain point, like wanting a particular style to look a particular way. And then just that, just in the nature of like it being another person doing it, that it may not come out exactly how your picture from Google looks, which, yeah.
And for everyone who doesn't know, UGC stands for user-generated content. And I think the significance of that is also, like you mentioned, the very personal experience and the, I guess, legitimacy of seeing something that's been created in your environment and has been posted by users as opposed to brands or big companies. Am I getting that right?
Exactly. That's right.
And do you think that the kind of ecosystem in St. Andrews has been a big factor in Braidar starting up?
I think definitely. I think in other sort of markets, something like Braidar may be like, people could have thought of something like Braidar, but I don't think it would work in the same way. Because somewhere like London, for example, or Lagos, you've got an abundance of braiders, especially in Lagos. Like on my street alone, there's like 3 salons. So like it's less of a discovery issue. And it could be like there's other pain points that people in those markets face. But in St. Andrews in particular, because I feel, yes, there's that sort of need and that slight lack of like the facilities, but also the size of the uni, you can kind of like hear those conversations and like sort of have your ear to the ground and like pick up on those pain points, I feel a bit like easier or a bit more organically, like just hang out with friends and they happen to mention it. Whereas in another uni, maybe like if it were bigger and still had that lack, you may not always be around when people are just voicing their like frustration just by the nature of like this is a bigger pool. Yeah. So I think definitely coming like if I weren't in St. Andrews, I'm not even sure if I would have sort of thought of something like Breda, but I'm definitely glad that it's just that like everything intersected, like coming to this uni, like having like the friends that I have and just being able to kind of piece together what I feel like could be a great solution.
The stars just aligned.
Exactly.
And you're obviously starting out in St. Andrews, but you mentioned Scotland as a whole. So what are kind of your plans for expansion when obviously Breda at the moment is fairly network-based in St. Andrews, if I'm getting that right?
Yeah.
So what are the plans to, if you want to target kind of other cities around Scotland?
Yeah, so the plan for expanding Breda is ideally after we've sort of, I guess you can never truly like crack a market, but after we've sort of got a strong foothold in St. Andrews and Dundee and also particularly balanced that whole supply and demand relationship, because just by the nature of like the pool size, the demand will always kind of outweigh the supply. But I think it's just a case of like being able to balance that relationship on your platform such that it doesn't ever feel like, oh, someone's gone on but there's no one free, or there's like that friction, being able to sort of monitor that. And then I think after that it will be a case of almost replicating the go-to-market strategy for St. Andrews in other unis. So for example, that would include a lot of presence during freshers' fairs, presence like in the sort of run-up to the starting of an academic year, because I feel like that's when people first encounter this pain point of like, oh, I've walked through the town, I haven't really seen any black hair salons. Is it the case that there's none? Like, that's when you start getting those thoughts. Mm-hmm. But positioning yourself when people experience that means that you can kind of solidify yourself as that solution before like the, not dread, but you know, the feeling of like, oh, like that let down feeling really sets in. So yeah, it will be a case of like definitely going in person to those freshers fairs in like Edinburgh, for example, in Glasgow, for example, but also with the awareness that it won't be exactly the same strategy that will work, or like, you know, it won't be exactly the same market. I think I would definitely like do my research and be in contact with like especially the ACSs and their like executive committee in the unis, because that's how you can get a feel for like what are your pain points around this, or like how are you solving it at the moment, you know? And then you can kind of come in like as part of that conversation rather than like, this is how we do it here, and like
yeah. And also for anyone who doesn't know, ACS stands for African Caribbean Societies.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, that is what it stands for. I want to kind of talk about your journey getting to this point so far. You mentioned that, you know, you've pitched in competitions. You're also a solo founder, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So how have you kind of gone about finding support? I know that you've participated in programs in St. Andrews. But have you looked for support like in surrounding areas as well, or has it been mainly St. Andrews focused?
Yeah, so at the beginning, I think it was definitely more St. Andrews based with the Entrepreneurship Center. And yeah, and then after a while, and obviously like when I was in the internship, I could ask people questions and that was helpful, but that was kind of before Breda had kind of started almost. But yeah, I'd say after that, I was able to kind of engage with different stakeholders, yes, but more so like people in my network, I guess that's a better way of describing. Like Mujo, she was in my internship program and she was one of the sort of managers, facilitators, like helping us out. And then she's actually been coaching me with Breda.
Oh,
and
cool.
Just like, yeah, she's been super helpful. And she actually used to work with Mizani, who's like a black hair care line under L'Oreal. So she kind of knows on the, like, I guess, the retail side, for example, of like how to engage with salons. So like use your product and that whole art of almost like building relationship, negotiating, which I think there's a lot of crossover with like approaching a student side hustle and being like, yeah, like, would you like to be featured on my platform and sell from there? And I think as well, I've been able to be in contact with the alumni sort of office and like admissions office as well, admissions department, and just to let them know like what Radar's about and just to kind of get the word out to different areas of St. Andrews, because I think the more I can kind of position Radar as something that's like clearly there to help other students and help obviously like students coming after me, since I'm not sure if I told you guys, but I'm graduating in June this year. Super sad, like Ellie
Very
and I.
Very sad, both of us, yeah.
So it's definitely something that's like for the ones coming after, you know, like, yeah. But I'd say overall, I really do feel like St. Andrews as a university, this is not me trying to like sell, I'm not paid, you know, non-sponsored, but I do feel like St. Andrews as a university does help us in like our endeavors, especially like startup type, entrepreneurial type things. It seems like even my professors and like my tutors that I just happened to tell about Radar, they're so supportive, so like encouraging, and everyone kind of just wants you to do well and like wants to like see you succeed. So I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely do also think I've had that same experience where people are just really excited for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely environment to be in. Has pitching always been easy to you, or like public speaking, kind of putting yourself out there, selling an idea to other people? Is that something that has always been, you know, in your comfort zone, or would you say that's definitely something that's like come more on your journey?
That's a really good question. I think I'm kind of a like reserved person in a way. Like I would say I talk, but then sometimes I can just be quiet, but it doesn't mean I'm not interested. It just means I'm like either waiting for the person, like trying to gauge when they're finished, or like just thinking of something to say. But I think that's a good sort of back foreground to give, because it does mean that in certain situations I'm like not, like I wouldn't immediately just start sort of pitching like off the cuff, kind of like that. But at the same time, I would say that public speaking and pitching doesn't feel daunting. It just feels like when I get into it, it just kind of flows, and it just like, it feels fun, I guess, is a good way to say it. Like, I used to do debating, debate team, that kind of thing. And I think maybe that's where I learned a lot of how to sort of present ideas, like engage with an audience. And I do really find it energizing. So it's almost like, I think we should invent, you know how there's like introvert, extrovert, and there's ambivert.
Yeah.
Either I'm an ambivert, or we can invent something new for like when it's time to switch on. I just kind of like, yeah, in the zone.
When needed, you're there.
Yeah. <laughs>
I think that's really insightful. And what would you say have been kind of your biggest challenges to date in the process of setting up Radar?
I think that's a really good question. At first, it was definitely like a technical learning curve or like barrier, because I don't know how to code, and I wasn't too familiar with like how marketplaces can be set up by like people who don't know how to code. So it was a long period of like researching different platforms and researching like options and just like trying to wrap my head around that aspect before you actually get into like, okay, what's the, how do I map the value proposition onto like a marketplace? How do I like sort of, what's the USP that I can then tinker the marketplace to reflect or to the feature? So that was definitely one really big hurdle that took a lot of researching. But I guess maybe, yeah, either that or like even a bit linked to that, it was the balancing of that with like schoolwork and with just like trying to just, you know, live life, like just be in equilibrium, sort of. Because I think with something like Radar, it's gone to the point where I've done so much research that it's like I know exactly what I kind of need to do. Like, doesn't mean I know what exactly will make it like $100 million brand, but I know exactly what I need to kind of like do to take my notes from like notes to like actually mm-hmm. out there. But it's like time. It's just the time that I think is like a challenge. So yeah, that would be my answer.
And how have you gone about trying to find that equilibrium, trying to find that balance?
Well, I think sometimes it's like setting a boundary of like, okay, I won't do Breda this week. I'll just try and like, you know, focus on other things, like focus on schoolwork or just like take a break from it. And I think especially because like, I would say for most of this academic year, like definitely been on Breda like almost every day. Mm-hmm. But I think trying to at least like saying to yourself, okay, I won't really get into it much this week, and then even if you kind of like, oh wait, I'm slipping back into work mode, I think it sets like a good precedent, because you can always like keep on sort of try and keep on reminding yourself to like just almost like take it easy or like take your foot off the pedal. At least for me, that really like builds up, it's almost like building up a muscle. Like maybe you can't switch from one mode completely to like just being in that perfect equilibrium, but you keep on trying and then it does get better. And I think also sometimes if you like do something like a lot, like if you're researching on I don't know, like some platform so much, you can kind of feel when it goes from like productive to now I'm just like stuck here. Mm-hmm. So then when you hit that, it doesn't really feel good, but at least you have that like consciousness of like, okay, it's not productive anymore, and you can kind of catch yourself. Mm-hmm. So
step back a little.
Exactly, that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm personally curious what you think about the kind of, I guess, entrepreneurial community in St. Andrews. I mean, we're both women of color, and I think sometimes there's an attachment of a certain kind of person with the word entrepreneur. Is that something that you've experienced at all here, or is that something that you've not really encountered much?
That's a good question. I think, personally, I've not encountered that much here. I think with the, there's like an Eden Tay community where the University of St. Andrews, University of Dundee and Abertay University in Dundee, like the city, they do like these meetups every month or 2 months, I think. And with that, I've kind of been able to feel like a sense of welcoming and a sense of acceptance in like the wider entrepreneurial community and like, I guess, St. Andrews and also like other cities. So that's definitely been good for feeling, I guess, like a part of everyone and a part of like, we're all working towards our different things, but we can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, like, just from going on LinkedIn and things like that, I can definitely see, like, especially in the VC space, that there's definitely that stigma, that prejudice of, like, oh, you don't look like my roommate from Stanford, so your idea must be fundamentally, like, worse than mm-hmm. the roommate's idea, which could be actually the same thing, but it's just, like, that prejudice and that, like, internal bias or racism, sexism, which I'm not like, I think it's something that at this point people are aware that they're doing it, but people are consciously like continuing, and it's something like really
move on.
Honestly, like guys, you're playing 2024,
yeah. You're also missing out.
Yeah. But I'm definitely one person who's really into, like, uplifting other people of color, or, like, sort of, like, linking arms and, like, sharing sort of tips, like, creating that sense of, I guess, community, yeah, and, like, mm-hmm. just trying to create a counterweight to what the world tried to, like, box you into or, like, keep you out of. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like there's strength in, like, trying to, like, for example, connect someone with an angel investor that you know, connect someone with someone in your network that can help them. I feel like when I see examples of that happening, that really, like, makes me happy.
It's very inspirational. And I guess one last question would be, what's a piece of advice that you would give someone who's just starting out?
I think advice for someone starting out would be again, I'm not sponsored, I'm not like an ambassador, but definitely if you're in the university, like, try and talk to the Entrepreneurship Center or talk to like the business studies department if you don't have like an Entrepreneurship Center, because I think they can really save you a lot of time and like things that you like on Google, things that you have to go through people's blogs and like sign up to their newsletter and like spend a lot of time to get those nuggets. The people in those departments can kind of tell you that way sooner. And so for me, at least, that's super helpful. And I guess if you're someone who's like, you've got an idea or there's a pain point that you've recognized and you're like, I want to do something about this, yeah, just maybe start with going to that like cohort or the target customers that are affected by that and just like get talking to them, because I think that's always helpful. And again, like the things that they may say that will save you a lot of time, like if you hadn't spoken to them, you could have been investigating in the whole wrong direction. And yeah, it's just always good to kind of keep them up to date with what you're planning and just making sure it really maps onto them. So yeah, I would wish anyone really good luck. Like, I always love seeing stories of people starting their own businesses.
I think that's a wonderful note to end this on. Thank you so much. And where can we find you to follow up on any updates that you have and see where Breda's going?
Yeah, so you can find Breda on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, and that's all on all those platforms. It's upper, like everything uppercase, BRAIDAR. And yeah, you can see all our updates on like the different versions of the MVP, on launches. And yeah, just stay tuned for a lot more content on those platforms, like in the summer and especially in the autumn when school starts again. And yeah, just come along for the ride.
Thank you so much for your insights. Love having you.
Thank you so much, Ellie, like, for having me. I've had a blast here.